licking his skin. The taste of his salty sweat made her whole body quiver, overcome by a wordless, joyous intensity of love. Was it only a week since they'd been married? They had spent the 7 days in uninhibited lovemaking. And it was so much sweeter to make love in a bed, instead of sneaking off to the ruined fort on top of the cliff. They'd done that all summer, but their desire had been made tense by fear of somebody stumbling across them. She was carrying Dan's baby now, but felt no shame at being a pregnant bride. Most of the women in Eyemouth, including her own mother, took their marriage vows pregnant. At least she'd waited till she was 19 before she fell with Dan Maltman's child. And he was the only man she'd ever been with or wanted. He shifted his shoulders like a restive horse when he felt her tongue licking his back.
"Heard the clock?"
he asked in a hoarse voice, still full of sleep.
"Aye, it struck 5 a little while ago," she told him.
The church clock that marked out the time for their town had helped to waken her.
"Smells dry. It's going to be a fine day," she guessed, sniffing the air, for there was no window in their snug little room to look through.
He sat up abruptly.
"Is it? Then we'll sail."
She propped her head on her hand and smiled at him.
"That's all you want, isn't it? To go to sea. Are you tired of being in bed with me already?"
"Dinna be daft. I could stay here with you forever. But the boats have not been out for a week, and we need money in our pockets. I'll buy you a silken gown if we have a good catch."
He remembered how she'd sighed over the dresses of fine ladies parading along Princes Street in Edinburgh, where they'd spent the day after their wedding. She sighed and pouted.
"I wish we could stay in bed forever."
He laughed and spread himself out on top of her, flattening her slender body beneath his weight.
"So do I, but we have to eat. No fishing, no silk gowns, and no eating."
She locked her arms behind his head and pulled his bristly face down to hers.
"I know something that's better than food and silk gowns," she whispered, sliding her long legs around his hips and pulling him into her.
He groaned as he felt her fingernails digging into the hard muscles of his shoulders. The clock struck 6 before they sat up again. Willie Wave clambered fully clothed out of the pile of rags that was his bed in his son's net shed in the alley, called Fool Dub, and crawled across the floor on his hands and knees. When he shoved the door open, dawn was breaking over the North Sea, burnishing the still water with streaks of gold, magenta, and green.
"It's going to be a fine day. The boats can go out," he thought.
Bad weather had kept the Eyemouth fishing fleet in harbour for 10 days.
And if they stayed in much longer, bairns would be going hungry.
Willie was at least 75 years old. His birthday had been forgotten long ago, and no longer able to find a place on any boat, but on fine mornings, he forgot his age and imagined that he could go fishing again. All he had to do was find a skipper prepared to take him on. Unfortunately, he only had one son, Rob, who was under the thumb of a bullying wife. But in his day, Willie had been a good skipper with a share in a sturdy boat. He'd lost his mind, though, and Rob, who drank too much, had sold his share of the boat and now sailed as a crewman with Rosabelle's easygoing father, Davy Scott, skipper of the Myrtle. Reaching into his pocket, the old man pulled out the tattered woolen fishing cap that he wore to hide his baldness. When he pulled it down over his ears, it made his head look like a black turnip. He next searched for his sea boots, but they were nowhere to be seen, and eventually he remembered that Ella Collin, Rob's termagant wife, had taken them away to sell them.
"I never liked that woman," he said aloud,
and in bare feet gingerly stepped out onto the harbourside paving stones, surveying the brightening sky as he